G'day, Reece down here. Welcome to episode 98 of the Selection Bullet Points podcast. And this episode is called Five Selection Questions Answered. So I'm going to go through five different questions that I've received recently, and I'm going to answer them to the best of my abilities and knowledge. The first one being, can you get into SF with a criminal record? And the short answer is yes. However, the long answer is that you might have to wait quite a while, depending on what it is you're convicted of, all right? You might be told when you go to apply for the military to come back in 5 or even 10 years, depending on your crime. Well, they might tell you to come back in 12 months or 24 months. So if that's the case and you have to wait a certain period of time, once you reapply, the military is going to want to know that you have a clean record and even that you or have been proactive in proving that you're a better person, all right? So it depends on your crime and how much you're going to have to prove that you are good to go. And you're not going to fall back into any sort of past habits, okay? Because previous behavior is indicative to future behavior, okay? That's what they're probably running off. So you need to really prove that you are good to go, that you've grown up, that you're a better person, okay? So you might do things like volunteer work. You might join the Rural Fire Service, for example. Any kind of volunteer activity is going to prove to them that you're a better individual. The other thing to consider is, depending on your crime, depending on what you've been charged with, it might be worth considering actually doing some specific or getting some specific help in that area. For example, if you were charged with DUI, for example, you might decide to enter some kind of program for alcoholics. All right. Again, that's going to prove to them that you're proactive in trying to help yourself so that when you come back and reapply, you can show them all of these things that you've done. Okay. Now, a further question might be, can you join the military? Can you get into the military if you've completed jail time? And from experience, I do know people that are in the army now or have been in the army that have served jail time, that have done jail time. I even know people in SF that have done jail time. Now, this would really depend on the individual and the crime that they've committed, whether you can actually get in the military and even get into SF. All I'm saying is that I know people with a criminal record that have completed jail time that were able to join the army and indeed get into SF. But my point is, whatever you've done, as long as it's not an extremely serious crime, I would firstly apply to the military to see what they say. And if they give you any kind of wait time, take it upon yourself to prove within that waiting period that you've become a better person so that when you go back and apply, you've got a better chance of getting in. Question number 2, can you still get into the military after admitting to a mental health disorder or an issue? Now, I've talked about the medical recruiting process before. It's in episode 78 of the podcast, so you can go and check that out. But if you do admit to a mental health disorder when you apply, it is tricky to get in. Now, yes, you can still get in, but it will depend on the mental health issues that you have. If you have admitted to any kind of self-harm or attempted suicide, that is going to be very tricky on getting in. If you've admitted to something like depression for a period of time or you went through it, it was a specific incident or experience that you went through that maybe caused you to be depressed for a period of time, you'll have a better chance of getting in. If you've been diagnosed with ADHD and you've been on medication for a period of time, you may still be able to get in. They will probably tell you to wait 12 or 24 months. You can't be on medication when you join the army, so you have to be off that for at least 12 months, I believe it is. But once you go back and then reapply, you could still get in. I'm not saying you can. It will depend on the situation. But if it's a serious mental health issue, probably not. If it's a less serious mental health issue and you've waited the period of time and you are not on medication, you will have a chance of getting in. Number 3, can you join SF if you're colorblind? I've got a few of those questions recently, and the answer is no. You, however, can still get into the military, and you can even get into infantry depending on the severity of your color blindness. But if you have any kind of color blindness, that will exclude you from SF, unfortunately. Number four, what's a typical day for SFDRS candidates? So those going down the SFDRS pipeline, what is a typical day for them once they're at the School of Special Operations, okay, which is in Holsworthy? So once you've done Kapooka, you've done Singleton, you are now at the School of Special Operations in Holsworthy. What's a typical day look like? And it's pretty much like a typical day in the military, except less sitting around and less breezeway time, right? So 07:30 to 08:30 will be PT, so physical training. And that could include things like weight training, pack marching, weighted interval running, battle PT, for example. And it will be tailored to the group's fitness level. And it will depend on what phase of training you're in. Okay, so it depends on if you're training for the entry test or you're training for selection. There's obviously different kind of phases that you'll be going through depending on what exactly it is you're training for. 08:30 to 09:30 is breakfast. 09:30 to 12:30 is your training block. And this is where you're going to conduct training in your infantry skills. Okay, so things like navigation might be practical, it might be theory, you might be doing live fire training, you might be doing weapons handling, offensive, defensive operations or field activities. You might be doing theoretical lessons, okay? Things like all arms call for fire. You might be going through SOCOM history. You might be doing some public speaking, things like that. You might even be doing signals and communications training, first aid training, things like that, okay? Any kind of your standard infantry training that is going to prepare you for selection. 12:30 to 13:30 is lunch. 13:30 to 15:30 is another training block. So any of those infantry skills that I just listed, you're going to be going through more of those. 15:30 to 1700 is another physical training session. And then 1700 to 1830 is dinner and free time until the next day. So that should give you a typical day or a standard day at the School of Special Operations for SFDRS candidates. And the last one, question five, what are the equipment requirements for the SFET and selection? And I've received a number of questions about this recently because there have been a number of changes. So let's get into this. So for the entry test, you can wear, all right, this is the big change. You can wear the T0 light issued equipment, which is the battle bra and the belt, okay? And you can distribute it any way you like. So you could wear just the battle bra and put all the weight in that, or you could wear just the belt and put all the weight in that, or you could split it between the two. So you could wear the battle bra and the belt. And that's actually the recommended configuration because that's what you have to do on selection because you won't fit it all in if you just wear one or the other. So you have to wear both the battle bra and the belt on selection. But the other big change that just happened recently is you can now wear the issued T0 heavy gunner's rig. Okay, so up until recently, you could only wear the battle bra and the belt, but now you can wear the gunner's rig, so the old fat man style rig, okay? Now, the only modification that is allowed is you can wear whatever six-point harness you want, and you can wear a double comforter, okay? You can't wear anything else, and you need to wear issued pouches, okay? Issued ammo pouches, because you're not allowed to carry ammunition or explosive ordnance in any other pouches apart from the issued ones. All right, so just to reiterate and make it very clear, you can wear either the T0 light combatant kit, so the battle bra or belt, and on the entry test, you can actually wear just one or the other, the belt or the battle bra, but on selection, you'll need to wear both, or you can now wear the T0 heavy gunner's rig. Okay, so that is a new change and a new add-on. And the last thing is field packs. Obviously, civilian-style packs are not prohibited during the SFAT. Applicants must use an Ellis-style pack, like an Ellis frame-style pack, okay? You must have an external frame on it, or you can use, obviously, the Australian Army-issued pack. Plastic frames, modifications, and privately purchased packs are allowed, but they must be a military pack of that same style, okay? Of the Ellis frame style with an external frame on it. The Army issued Ellis style large field pack with a metal frame is recommended. Okay, so they recommend a metal frame. I know a lot of people are having problems with the Army issue plastic frame. I had a plastic frame on my pack, which I purchased, which I never had a dramas with, and that was carrying upwards of 70 kilos in my pack when I was in snipers, no problem there. But they are the recommendations in regards to the pack and the weapon configuration. Hope that clears a number of things up in regards to criminal records, mental health, color blindness, typical day for SFDRS candidates at the School of Special Operations, and the new requirements for webbing for the entry test and selection. If you have any questions, make sure you hit me up, Reese, which is R-H-Y-S, reese@operatoredge.com, or check out operatoredge.com/selection, number of different resources there. That's it for this episode. Hope you got something out of it. I'll see you in the next one. Thanks.